So our text is Ephesians 4. There it's Spanish, sorry. Most of the rest of the message will be in English. But Ephesios 4 this morning, Ephesians 4 and 15 and 16 are the basis of what we're going to be seeing this morning. Those verses say, and I'll be using the ESV, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from Him, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The first three chapters of Ephesians, this is chapter 4 that we're going to be looking at, but the first three chapters of Ephesians are the basis for the organic function of the body of Christ. And when I say organic, I mean living. It means we're actually working together. It's not a machine. And in the first three chapters, some of the truths that have been expounded are the inscrutable riches of Christ in the gospel, the infinite love of Christ towards us, the unlimited power of God in us, and that everything is for His glory. And as we get to chapter 4, now all those things in chapter 1, 2, and 3, as you go through that, it's all in the context of the body of Christ. And one of the main themes of the body of Christ is how we work together, how we grow together. And the principal truth this morning, the body of Christ grows together in Him only as we maintain our organic unity with Him, so with the head, who is Christ, and our living love for other members of the body. So with God as our head and other members of the body. Christ is working in His body by His power. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, just before Ephesians 4, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." The basis of what happens in the body of Christ is Christ our head and His power working in us. Thank you for that we could read Ephesians 1 through 24 in our reading this morning, because that's the context of what we are saying. Today, what is happening today, what has been happening in the church and what is happening? Many people in the church, there's many professing Christians who do not appreciate participation in the local body of Christ. And the question is, how can a person love Christ and despise His body? And many Christians, many professing Christians, haven't even thought about that. They think, well, I can be a good Christian. I can just stay home and watch messages at home. I don't have to be a part of a local fellowship of the body. But the New Testament doesn't even know what that would look like. There's nothing in the New Testament that the people would even conceive that could be possible, to be a Christian at home apart from other believers. And now, during the coronavirus, when the government has mandated many shutdowns for months, and now it's opened up a little bit, and then other things are happening in different places, many churches have just gone totally online. And the question is that possible, is that sustainable as a local church? Can a local church, can the body of Christ actually function in that way? And so, you know, as we go through these times, we're being challenged to see very different things than we've been challenged to before. So some of the things that I want to think about as we look at the text, during this time of the virus, we've been challenged with governmental authority that in North America, we haven't really been challenged with before. There's lots of the world that's living under direct persecution. We probably couldn't call this direct persecution yet, although it seems to be possibly coming to that. But many parts of the church, or God's church, throughout the world have already been challenged with how do we function as a body when the government doesn't allow us to. We have health issues. Obviously, that's the underlying thing through this whole thing. During this time, you know, the issue or one of the things that's been said, and where we should think about it, okay, how does that work in the long term, is to love your neighbor, is to stay away from them. And how does that function in the body of Christ? How can we love others in the body of Christ when we're called to separate from them? During these times, we've been, there's lots of division over something that's not even that important, whether to wear a mask or not wear a mask. It's not foundational. There's health issues. There's also psychological. There's spiritual. There's relational issues that haven't been taken into account very much. But there's all kinds of issues that that have divided us and have divided a lot of people in the church. And obviously in the States, it seems to be quite a bit more of a political issue than in Canada. So we're glad it's not as quite as politicized here as there, but it still is a dividing issue. And so without a doubt, God is sovereign, and what is happening now is under his sovereign control. God is testing his church. Satan wants to separate and divide us. And obviously, it seems to me this is a good way to do it. It is a health issue. But then it's coming in and doing things to Christ's church. And the question for us as God's people is, what is body function? How do we function in this time? How do we love our brothers biblically? How do we grow together as a church during this time? And as we move forward, Christian maturity, what we're seeing together as a body grows, is shown by the spiritual stability in the body. How are we going to handle this crisis, and how are we going to move forward? If we're totally thrown off by this, we're not going to be doing well going forward. But as we move forward, if we have maturity beneath us, as we move forward, we can talk about things. Talk about how we do things, how we meet, how we continue to grow the Christ as a head. And even if we have different opinions, some of them are important differences, and some of them are not important differences. And how can we work together? All of this starts, the first point in what we're going to be seeing is Christ is our head. All of our growth and our spiritual unity flows from Christ, our head. All the growth, all the spiritual unity flows from Christ. So it's actually, it doesn't start with us. It doesn't start with our opinions. It doesn't start with, well, I think this and I think this. And that's where many churches, many people, we actually, a lot of times, that's where we start. I think this, I have this opinion, and that's how we come at this. In this issue, in what we're seeing this morning, Ephesians 4:15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together. We are to grow up into Christ, and the whole body is held together by Christ. It's an organic, it's a living relationship with Christ, who is our head. How do we grow up into him who is the head, who is Christ? We need to know who Christ is. What is it to know who Christ is? Christ, when we say Christ, the body of Christ, the word Christ, it's actually not Jesus' last name. It means Messiah. It means the one who came to rescue his people into Christ. And that's who Christ is. He's our Savior. He's our Messiah. And he's our Lord. It means knowing who he is. It means knowing why he came to earth. It means knowing how he relates to us, his people. His authority. When it says head, there's a reason it calls him the head. It's because he's the one that's directing things. When a church loses the headship of Christ, it ceases to be a church. It ceases to be a Christian church. It means understanding his love, his mercy, and his grace. It means understanding the gospel. Christ is a center from whom all things and all direction comes. A physical body, our physical bodies are directed by our heads. Both our voluntary and our involuntary movements are directed by things that happen in our brain. And so the church is supposed to be directed, is supposed to be go along because of or through its connection with the head. Why do physical problems happen? Well, one of the reasons is that a connection is lost with the head. When we have some physical, if my hand's not working the way it's supposed to, my foot, I could have a muscular problem or something like that as well. But one of the issues is a nerve problem. There's connection. There's not, the messages aren't being sent from the head to that part of the body. And if Christ's body does not live in organic union with him, in communion with him, there will be multiple problems. And there will be problems between body members. When we have problems within the body, what does that signify? Problems that can't be resolved? That means there's a problem with the head. Between one or two parts. That's the same, and when you talk about, and this we'll be talking about later, but when you have humility in a relationship, in a human relationship, that starts with humility before God. And a human relationship can flourish, can move forward when there is that, when there's humility and love. A human relationship can't move forward when there's not that. And it's the same with the body of Christ. If there's humility and love in the body, it shows that there is that towards Christ. Growing up in Christ means that we stop thinking independently and come into sync with our head, who is our Master and Lord. In Colossians 2, verse 19, Colossians 2, verses 18 and 19, it says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast, this is the important part, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Not holding fast to the head. When someone starts to spout their own opinions, then he's not holding fast to him who is from the head. And it's not being nourished. And it's not going to promote body growth. The growth and development of each member, individually and the church collectively, depends on our intimate connection with Christ, who is with the head, who is Christ. As it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body grows, from whom the whole body. The members of the body will not survive if we are severed or separated from our connection with the head. There is no spiritual life cut off from our connection with the head. In Ephesians 5, we have the example of the husband and wife, Christ and the church. Ephesians 5, 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to, in everything, to their husbands. And it's interesting there, it's kind of assuming. It says, now as the church submits to Christ. It's saying, well, This is how a church functions. A church functions by submitting to Christ. And so Christ and the church is the example for husband and wife. And it's assuming that the Christ is the head and the church submitting. By very definition, the church is the body of Christ. We are the people of God. And that means that we submit to what he says. Apart from him, there is no growth. Apart from him, there is no unity. And a lot of the disunity that is coming about even now is because we haven't figured out, or we don't have, we need to keep working on, maybe I should say, that living, organic connection with the head together. It's interesting, in Bolivia, our church there, when the virus started, we did go online. We had some different challenges than you have here. We had not only restrictions about meeting together, but there were driving restrictions. So there were no vehicles allowed. Actually, our car was parked in our garage for 2.5 months. And there was no public transportation. People had to walk to get their groceries or take bicycles. And so obviously that made meeting together, where our church probably more than half have to commute because it's really far, for some of them anyway. And so, but the question for us was, how can we maintain some semblance of togetherness? And working together. And obviously we had different opinions on certain things. I'm glad that those restrictions have been lifted. I think there are still some meeting restrictions. I'm not quite sure, but our church is meeting now, and the driving restrictions have been lifted. So, but the question even for us moving forward is, okay, learning from what we've done, how can we move forward? Because we do need to be working together. And one of the ways, as we move into the next point, speaking the truth in love, if we're not together, one of the, just physically being together, communicating with each other, obviously Skype, Zoom, and all these other things have facilitated communication, but it's not quite the same. But if we're not communicating with each other, division will happen. It will happen. And the body of Christ needs to be together. In this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, 15 and 16, again it says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way who is the head, into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And the body of Christ grows, if you look in the context, and we're going to see a few of the verses in the context, as it rejects self-deceit. Rejects self-deceit as it rejects false doctrine. And the body of Christ grows as it embraces loving encouragement and embraces loving exhortation. In Ephesians 4:11, And those verses, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming." He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The church leaders, and we could explain who all those different offices are, but in general, the apostles, the Word of God, the New Testament, then we have shepherds and teachers, which Christ has given us, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? Who does the edifying of the body of Christ? It's not just the church leaders. It's the whole body. And that's what this whole passage is about. Verse 16, it says, the whole body, which is equipped, when each part is working properly, so that it builds itself up in love. And the first phrase, in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Our growth as a body will only happen as the whole body participates. And that's why just listening to a sermon online without that interaction is not going to work long term. It might work short term, and that might be okay for a short term, but it's not going to work long term. We need the interaction of the whole body to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And then it says in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming. And I think, just thinking about how we've been challenged during this time, what does it mean? It says there, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. We always think that I'll never be fooled. They can't pull the wool over my eyes. But looking back on church history, you can say, oh, why would they do that? And we have to think in this circumstance, and I think one of the ways, I'm not going to say we've been totally fooled, but we've been definitely challenged, is the very saying, because at the beginning it was basically, this is how you love your neighbor. You love your neighbor by staying away from them, by distance. And that was basically, okay, that's how we do it. Without thinking, okay, there is a part of truth. Is there a part of falsehood in that? Are we just accepting it because that's what we are being told? And you know, the world is really good at using Bible verses to underline what they want, the truth that they want. It's interesting when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And some people today say that, well, that's love your neighbor as yourself. That's all we should do. But that actually starts with love Lord your God first, and then you love your neighbors yourself. So the question for us is, how are we going to continue to love each other and think about what's being thrown at us constantly now in a way that we've never been challenged before? And church leadership all over North America, the world, especially in freer countries, are being challenged with this. We've had abortion, and that's fairly clear. We've got the transgender, homosexuality, and all those things. Those seem very clear to us, the issues. The question is whether we're going to stand firm and say, these are wrong. But now we've gotten something a lot more subtle. And the question is, how do we go through this, and how do we just think about it biblically and work together as a church so that we may not be tossed, no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. And that's how we need to reject. We need to reject things that seem like truth but miss the point and continue to work together. One of the things in Bolivia that, and it's the same here, the question of what is the gospel as a foundational part of the church has been largely lost. When you ask people what is the gospel, which I did, I asked a lot of people what is the gospel, most people didn't know. This was people in churches, in evangelical churches, in Christian churches. They didn't know that it had to do with the work of Christ on our behalf. And slowly but surely, our message has been turned to more of a social, more of a, we're being nice to each other, without the foundation of Christ, his headship, and his lordship over us. And that's a cunning, it's crafty. And the question is, how we are going to continue to speak the truth in love? So when we see those errors, what do we say? How do we correct them? And there's lots of errors that we see. One of the other things that I'm actually teaching on right now in Bolivia is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And it's interesting that in the New Testament, baptism comes right on the heels of conversion. And the Lord's Supper, the participation in the Lord's Supper, is in the context of the local fellowship. But once again, we have floater Christians who, and even the church itself, we've separated baptism from conversion, and then we've separated a person can go to this church and go to that church and go to that church and not be connected to any church and participate in the Lord's Supper. And there's just so many different issues that we have to start to think about. How do we speak the truth? How do we help people to understand things that maybe have never even come into their thought process? The Lone Ranger Christian, which we have a lot of today, but the Bible knows nothing about. And how do we are involved in each other's lives so that we can encourage and exhort one another in Christ? Speaking the truth in love. What does it mean to speak the truth in love? Well, it definitely does mean truth. And that has to do with the head. Who is Christ? Christ is our head. Christ defines what is truth. And we have all kinds of things happening, the social justice movement. We have Black Lives Matter. We have all kinds of things that are happening. And the question is, can we take these things to the scripture and say, how does Christ define, for example, justice? Is it the way that these people are defining justice? Or is it different? The scripture is clear that one day everyone will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the judge. And so, speaking the truth means evaluating, knowing what is the truth. But then it says, speaking the truth in love. Beating someone over the head with what is actually true is actually not speaking the truth in love. And here in this passage, this is in the context of the body, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. That means to encourage, to exhort, to help others to see where they're going wrong, and also obviously to be open yourself to correction. When someone's not open to correction, usually others aren't really too willing to hear it from them. But speaking the truth in love has to do with giving the truth, receiving the truth in that context of the body. James talks a lot, I won't read the passage, James talks a lot about how we use our tongues, but the way we use our tongue, we can use it for building up or for tearing down. What are biblical truths that should be communicating in love? Well, obviously, right now, just talking in general, the gospel to non-believers. And have we thought about the fact that evangelism, what is one way that this time has really hindered, I would say, or made us step back? People, you can't even get close to other people on the street in transit a lot of times to talk to them, especially if it's a stranger. Now, God is testing his church once again. We're called to speak the truth in love. And that's hard to do. How do we do that? in the context of Ephesians, in the context of this passage itself, is the gospel of Christ. He's forming his body. And one of the truths in Ephesians is Jews and Gentiles. That means people from every ethnic race together in one organic body. God is forming his truth. And that's one of the truths that's in Ephesians. There's no this ethnic church and that ethnic church. One of the problems in the New Testament was Jews and Gentiles. And one of the first things that God attacks through the vision to Peter, the ministry of Paul, is that there's only one church. And in Bolivia, obviously in the States, things are a lot more heated up than here in that sense. But in Bolivia, we have it's very noticeable the different classes of people. One of the church leaders, sometimes we'll take him out for a meal. He'll say, I can't go into that restaurant. They won't serve me. And that's very real. It's very real in Bolivian society, the class structure. You have the higher class and the next class, and everybody knows who everybody else is. It's both by the color of their skin and their last name. And so you get jobs, you get get treated differently, and obviously the whiter your skin, the higher your class. Where the scripture knows none of that. It's one body altogether. And I've asked actually one of the people that would be considered of one of the lower classes how they felt in our church function, and it was encouraging to hear her say, "No, we feel very welcomed and accepted, because we actually have three, four, five classes in our church body." How do we work together and encourage each other in our different body functions? The reality, what other truths are there that we speak together? The reality that true Christians participate in the body of body life of the church. And this is actually one of the main things I want to get at this morning. A true Christian participates in body function. In 1 John, it says, they went out from us, and it shows that they never really belonged to us. To depart and not participate in the local body of the church is a sign that you don't belong to Christ. And obviously, one of the ways we can encourage each other in the local body here, and even in your contact with other Christians, is a sign of being a true Christian. In Ephesians, other parts of the New Testament, is being connected to a local body of believers. Guarding of the body of Christ from false doctrine, which leads people astray. I mentioned the watered-down gospel and other things. The following part of Ephesians, as we read part of a few verses after this, but other truths, speaking the truth in love, this actually starts a section on what a lot of people call the practical part of Ephesians. I think all of Ephesians is practical, but in a more directed sense, these chapters are very practical because they talk about different things. But the following part of Ephesians has to do with putting aside sin in its various forms. Sexual immorality, lying, deceit, anger, stealing, bitterness, slander, unforgiveness. The truth about those things needs to be spoken in love. And in the first part of Ephesians 4, it says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. All humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And when we bear with one another, that means that we actually aren't really, we don't really like it, what's happening. To bear with something, to persevere, means that we're not really okay in some sense with it. Here it says in Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't break unity over the small matters. We work towards unity. And that's what speaking the truth in love is, helping each other grow together in love. In summary, when I speak the truth in love, I would be looking for their good. I'd be looking for the good of the other person and for the body of Christ. I won't be looking to promote myself and my agenda by humiliating the other person, putting them down, but I'll be thinking about what promotes healthy growth in the body of Christ. My point is not to win an argument. It's not to humiliate the other person. It's actually to help them, and it's to promote growth in the body of Christ. That's what speaking the truth in love actually does. And finally, the third point this morning, edified in love. True body growth requires the active participation of the whole body in organic union with the head. True body growth requires the active participation of the whole body in organic union with the head. Again, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly. If one part of the body is not working properly, body growth will be hindered. That's what it's saying. The body of Christ does not grow properly when the only thing that happens is a preacher stands up and preaches on Sunday morning. It doesn't grow properly when there's not connectedness, when there's not communication, when there's not prayer and talking and helping each other in the body. And one of the things I guess that God has blessed our church in Bolivia is I started preaching through Ephesians. The church is just over 3 years old. I started preaching through Ephesians shortly after the church got going. And this has been one of the main themes that you see right from the beginning of Ephesians, the whole body. And it's been neat to see that slowly people have been taking initiative. When the virus started, then we did have a Thursday night meeting, Zoom, we had Thursday night meetings. We started on Zoom, but one of the things that one of the gentlemen suggested was, well, we need more fellowship time. So we started another Zoom meeting, unfortunately, but that's the way we had it, on Tuesday nights as well. And so during those times, we had devotional and then prayer times. So we would break into smaller groups and have prayer times that way. And so slowly but surely, they're not actually a very, in general, Bolivian people don't take a lot of initiative. There are certain ones that have started to take initiative. And it's really neat to see God growing his church in that way. One of the ladies in the last couple months started to organize the ladies more and have, you know, devotional prayer time, just connecting with each other. And so it's neat to see how there God is. It wasn't like I preached once and everything changed. The body functions, we grow slowly. I grow slowly, You guys grow slowly, the body grows slowly. And that's why it says in Ephesians 2, 4, verse 2, with patience. And that the body here grows together as you work together. Obviously, this is just one message, what I'm giving. I'm hoping you'll take something from it. But the real body growth is from the ministry of the teaching of Pastor Andy, of Pedro, and of others here that take part in that. And then as you work together, that's where the real growth happens. Building of the body is doing what is constructive and helping according to what Christ, our head, directs, and not according to our own ideas. In Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, well-known verses, do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Grow, we are going to grow together as we look to the interests of others. And it's interesting that taking our time again with the virus. My in-laws live in an old folks' home, while my father-in-law is actually on his deathbed and has been for the last 4 or 5 months. He would have been confined to a hospital at the beginning with no visitors, but my sister-in-law, I had him into their home and took care of him for months. She just recently couldn't continue, but so he had to go to the hospital. But during the time of strict lockdown, he was cared for. But in a real sense, he would have been totally abandoned. In that home where my mother-in-law lives now, they've gone into another semi-lockdown because of a case. But that home, which is usually full because it's got very good care, but it's getting emptier and emptier. Not because people are dying, but because they can't survive that way. Older folks, just like younger folks, need interaction. We need the body of Christ. And, obviously you'd have to take each case separately. Each person is an individual. But to lock people up into their rooms and isolate them, that's not treating them in love. And we need to, obviously, there are ways. These are real health issues. They are. And that's why it's tricky. It's not an easy solution. But, they're not just numbers. They're real people. The body of Christ is real people. And, like I was mentioning, when we left Bolivia, we were still in, they had lifted the strict lockdown, but a couple of the people in our church, when we said goodbye to them, it was individual because we weren't meeting together yet, but they just said, can we give you a hug? Now, Latin culture is a lot more huggy, kissy than North American culture in general. And so the effect, even for ourselves, we've been there in Latin culture for 20 years. Even seeing people and not shaking their hand, giving them a kiss on the cheek, or doing anything, it seemed really cold, impersonal. And it was dividing. It wasn't helping us to be united. Again, these are not just simple issues, but they have to be, there's more than just the virus. We're complex beings. We have the spiritual, emotional, and other parts of us. So when we look at growing together in love, what does that look like when we're challenged right now in a way that we haven't been challenged with before? We need to think about others and their life situation, where they're at. How do we love them at that time, at that moment, in that place where they're at? And again, each situation is a little bit different. And the church, but the church is an organic body of believers. From whom, Ephesians 4:16, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The whole body is joined together into the head, which is Christ. And separated from that organic relationship with the head, what is the church? Just a social gathering. And sadly, in this time, the government has decided that the church is just a social gathering. The church is not just a social gathering. The church is the gathering of the body of Christ. It's God's people. It's not like sports. It's not like going to the gym. It's not like dance lessons or any of that stuff. And as a church, we need that. We are not just a social gathering. But when we lose connection with our head, we are just a social gathering. And unfortunately, we could say, well, the government's out of line. And I would say, probably. But at the same time, many churches are responsible for that. Why? Because it has become a social gathering. Many evangelical churches, obviously it's easy to point the finger at churches, United Church and many other churches that have long since lost their way. There's many Reformed churches that have lost their way. And when the world sees the church acting like a social gathering, well, it says, well, it's just a social gathering. It's not just a social gathering, but we're partly to blame for that. And we need to show that our first allegiance is not to Caesar, it's to God, our head. Not just during this time, but all the time. And that's a challenge for each of us. You know, as time goes on, we will be challenged, we'll continue to be challenged with what it means to work together as the body of Christ. And the church, I'll say it in a more general sense, is going to be divided into two camps. Those that, if the government continues more and more restrictions, those that go along. And that's what's happened in China and other countries. And obviously, and those that say, no, we need to maintain and see how we can function even under that system. So the whole body joined together with the head. It's not just a social gathering. We are the living body of Christ, our head. And the second thing that's really important that I wanted to emphasize this morning is the whole body is needed for proper functioning. On the one hand, an individual Christian cannot survive by himself. And on the other hand, the body can't survive or can't function well without the different parts of it. As we think about this, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 20, as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts in one body. What are the reasons that we participate in the church body? come to meetings, fellowship with the others. And many times in our Western society, and we've exported this to Latin America as well and other parts of the country, we're very individualistic. And other parts of the world are learning from us, and that's not a good thing in this. What are the reasons that we think about we go to church? And most of the time it's think about, well, what am I going to get out of this today? Will I be edified today? Is this going to be good for me? Do I have the energy today? And obviously, there's a part of that that's true. But what a lot of times we don't think about is, how can I encourage other believers this morning or this evening? Or even just being there. Those who are in church leadership will testify that when there's, you know, an important or, you know, important event or important meetings like you have Wednesday night, teaching and prayer time, that's an important part of the function of this body. And there are legitimate reasons that people can't attend. But if there's only one or two people that would show up for that, that would not be encouraging. It wouldn't be encouraging for the people that show, those one or two, or for the leadership. One of the ways, and it's not the only way, that we encourage each other is just being there. Just talking to other Christians and participating. One of the questions that always comes up in church in Bolivia as I'm teaching is, what does participation in the body mean? Well, it doesn't mean teaching Sunday school, and it doesn't mean preaching. It means knowing, getting to know others in the body, basically. Being involved in each other's lives. That's what it means. You don't have to be an usher or church leader or song leader to participate. You participate by being and getting to know each other. And so the question for us is, how are we being edified in love? Am I thinking about other members of the body and what they need? Am I praying for them? Am I talking to them? Am I edifying them in love? True body function requires the loving participation of all the members. There's no one that's really not needed. We're all needed. This means being involved in each other's lives, both on Sundays and during the week, praying and encouraging each other. The body is unified together and stands out from the world. How are we going to stand out from the world? How are we going to show the world that it's not just a social gathering? As we move towards, as we function together, as we move together in holiness, as we reject the values and standards of the culture, and we live the life of Christ collectively, together. The body is unified, and we stand up from the world as we move together towards holiness, rejecting the values and standards of the culture. And more, the culture in which we're in today, here, it doesn't even understand our values. When you say Yahweh God is the creator of all things, and as his creatures, we owe him everything, they don't even understand what that means. In Bolivia, we're fortunate that most people would still agree with the fact that God, the God of the Bible, is the creator. They still understand that in a general sense. Here, sadly, a large part of the population, it's not even a part of their worldview. And so it's really a pagan culture that we're called to show that together, God is our God. We are united to Christ. In conclusion, I just want to direct my remarks to two different groups of people. First of all, this morning, if there's someone here that's not a true believer, if you've never repented, believed the gospel, if you don't know who Jesus is, that he is the Lord, he's the Savior, then today, let today be the day to repent, believe in him, and join the body of Christ. Because if you're not a Christian, by definition, you don't form part of the body of Christ. And the first thing is to be united to the head, who is Christ, through repentance and faith in him. For us who are believers, the question is, what is God calling us to be and to do as we continue to grow together in him? We need to maintain our organic unity with him. We need to live together for the other members of the body. Are we growing in the truth of Christ and body function? How are we learning to speak the truth to each other? Speak the truth in love, not beating each other over the head, helping each other. And even when we come with a difference of opinion, to see if that's a difference that's important or not that important. Is there true love for each other that is shown in our normal interaction, in the handling of differences, and how we continue to move forward? May God help this church to continue to grow, loving each other and under the lordship of Christ. And really, we should continue to pray for each other and encourage each other, because these are challenging times. We're being challenged in a way that we never really thought we would be, I think. And so for church leaderships, for the church leadership here, it's challenging. And I'd encourage you to pray for them, to encourage them. If you're not in agreement about something, talk about it in love and see where they're coming from. They'll hear you. You can hear them. That's how we grow together in love. To finish off, I just want to read part of what we've been, some of the verses that we've been seeing this morning. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6 first, or verse till verse 7. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Pat, going to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the word that you've given. This is your word. We're your church, your Lord, and help us to understand that both individually and collectively. And understand that you are Lord over this time, this challenging time in the history of the world. We know that your church has gone through many such times of testing, and even though it's in some senses it's not a direct attack against your church here in North America, yet in other senses it is a real and direct attack against your church. And help us to understand how to navigate these times. Pray for the church leadership here, the leadership in other churches that hold to sound doctrine, that love you. Pray for churches in Bolivia, our church in Bolivia, and others, where there are similar and also different issues to think about. And just pray that we would speak the truth in love to each other, that we would talk about things and how to navigate these trying times, thinking about how you would have us to do that so that we can truly love our brothers in Christ in a way that builds them up according to the need, be it a physical need, be it a spiritual need, emotional need that each one has. And help us to fear and tremble, first of all, before you. And help us to understand your great grace and mercy to us, your church, having saved us and having brought us out from under the world system to belong to your body. Thank you for that. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the work that you are, the evident work that you're doing here, and the love that is evident between the members here, and pray that you would continue to grow that here in this body. In your name, amen.